Being a private investigator means two things. You can be sure you'll run into trouble, and you can never be sure you can get out of it. Well, there's not much you can do about it, I guess. Except, like Julie always says,
walk softly, Peter Troy.
Well, friends, you will have noticed that the cases I recount to you from time to time all seem to have one thing in common. Somewhere along the line, there always seems to be a cute little doll involved in the setup. Well, maybe I'm a sucker for a pretty ankle and a sigh for help. And talking of ankles brings me to the case in point. This one's filed under the heading, Too Many Maids Are Moping. Why? Because there were 18 pairs of the cutest ankles you ever did see involved. Seen, the backstage dressing room of the chorus line of the show, Gals Galore. Time, 11:15 p.m. The curtain's just come down, and the Gals Galore comes streaming into the place.
The moment is broken downstairs. They're going to do something but the drop from that stage.
What are you going to do, Abby? Sue them?
Oh. We've got enough troubles without having to endure a cold north wind cutting right across the footlights.
Trouble? This whole show's jinxed, if you ask me.
Yeah, you can say that again.
Leonie, let me
know
your
cleaning
cream, honey.
Oh, you use mine every night. When you buy some of your own, I'm going to declare a public holiday.
Now, I'll be sure about this. I'm used to being just having a big car, aren't I? Right, Harry says, I'll take you having a big car, biggest I can find.
Ha! You know what that turned out to be? A London bus.
Oh, Janet, I've got another tear in these tights. Oh, those wardrobe'll dock more money out of my pay packet.
Joan, can I lend you a trowel to put that cleansing cream on with? After all, there's no need to go sparingly with it. It doesn't belong to you.
Corn, giving you trouble again.
Oh, now, look,
for pete's sake, don't start squabbling again, you two.
Sorry, I'm a bit on edge, I suppose.
Oh, that's all right, love. We're all on edge. A little wonder.
After everything that's happened.
If you ask me, it's more than just coincidence.
Yeah, that's what I think, Jim.
There's something darn fishy going on around here.
One misfortune after another.
A dozen accidents in less than 10 days.
Yeah.
Accidents. Funny sort of accident, if you ask me.
Well, I'm just about ready to quit, I can tell you.
That's what I think. Same way, I can tell you.
You know, when that sandbag fell from the flowers, it missed me by inches. If I'd have been under it, it would have killed me.
And that faulty wiring on the switch to the dressing room? I could have been electrocuted.
And when the safety curtain collapsed, the whole lot of us could have been mangled.
And the floor giving way.
And a great hunk of scenery falling.
Yeah, there's something fishy going on. They can't all be accidents.
Okay. Definitely.
Yeah, I think there's something fishy going on.
What's the matter?
I can smell something.
That horrible perfume Joan uses.
No, seriously.
What gas?
It seems to be coming from on top of that electric light bulb.
Oh, yeah. Hey, look, there's a cloud of stuff drifting down.
Oh, God. Oh, let's get out of here. Oh,
come on.
Come on, Abby. Open up the door before you're on top of that with that stuff.
You'll be pleased to know that none of the gals suffered because of the gas. Some bright spark threw a shoe through the window and a couple of the stagehands heard the ruckus and broke down the locked door. But the ladies were a bit unnerved by their experience. The latest in a long line of mishaps. Now, it so happens I knew one of the Corrines quite well. Abby, Miss Abigail Pierce. She begged me to look into the matter. Well, next night, found me backstage with Julie.
Watch it, Pete. Your eyes are bulging again.
Huh?
Oh, you're going to just love this assignment, aren't you? A whole gaggle of chorus girls in distress.
Well, just a favor for an old friend, Julie.
Well, Old friend.
Well, just because she wears spangles and tights.
And peroxide hair and false eyelashes. What are you chortling about?
I was just trying to imagine you in spangles and tights, Julie.
I beg your pardon.
Oh, don't get peeved. It was a nice picture.
Peter Troy! Oh, Pete, darling.
Hi, Abby. That's Miss Pete.
You so, I guess.
Oh, you came down to help us. Oh, I love you madly, and you're my favorite man.
Oh, careful with him, Miss Peters. He creases easily.
This is my secretary, Abby. Her name's Julie, and she insisted on coming down. She's interested in the theater, you know.
Hooper?
A what?
Are you a hooper?
I doubt it.
A hooper? A Corrine. A dancer, you know?
Oh.
No, Abby, Julie's not a hooper, though, mind you.
Mr. Troy.
Come on, Abby, let's go somewhere quiet where we can discuss this business of yours.
Sure. Come on into the dressing room.
Well, I...
It's all right. It's empty.
Oh.
Those were on stage for the harem number. I'm not in it. Here we are. Be it ever so humble.
Is this where it happened?
That's right. Stuff seemed to drift down from just above that light globe over there.
And the door was locked.
Tight. I can tell you there was almost a panic in here. Then they only threw a shoe through that window up there, and the general turmoil brought a couple of the stagehands round.
And they broke down the door.
That's right. Pete. This isn't the only thing that's been happening to us.
Collapsing scenery, faulty electrical equipment, falling sandbag weights, I know.
Mention but a few. Girls are scared out of their wits. They're just about ready to walk out. And I think...
Abby, you feel something like...
Oh, thanks, Joan.
Oh, who's he? He's nice.
I have to go on stage now with a specialty spot.
I'll be back later.
That's Peter Troy.
You know, I can still smell a trace of that stuff. That's not gas.
Well, whatever it is, it's darned unpleasant.
Yeah, it reminds me of school days.
School days?
That's right, school days. It's a stink bomb. We used to manufacture them during chemistry sessions.
Oh, what nasty little boys you must have been.
Yeah, on top of the light globe.
Are you hit on something?
I think so. Yeah. The stuff, all right. Cute idea, but not original. Stick a pellet on top of the light bulb when it's out.
Yeah.
Then when you switch on the light, the heat from the globe activates the pellet. That lets off the smell. It's not dangerous, but it's pretty unpleasant.
But for all the girls knew, it could very easily have been a poisonous gas. It's a particularly vicious practical joke, if you ask me.
Yeah. Or was it a practical joke? To me, all this seems like a deliberate plan to intimidate the girls. But why?
And there's another point.
Yeah?
Why haven't they called in the police yet?
Yeah, remind me to ask Abby that. In the meantime, we've at least solved the mystery of the gas. Now, let's have a look at that door. It's locked when they try to get out, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh.
What's the matter?
It's happened again.
The door?
Locked.
Wait, you mean we can't get out?
That's right.
Now, I wonder, what are you looking around for?
For something to happen, honey bun. Last time that door got locked, a stink bomb was let loose in here. Now, this time...
Pete?
Yeah?
I can smell something burning. Pete, something is burning. Oh, where is it?
Over by that smashed window, see? Oh. From the trash can.
Oh, can you get it out, Pete?
Uh-huh. Hand me that dressing gown.
Oh. Oh, be careful.
That's okay. I spotted it in time, I think.
Oh, Pete.
How did that get started? Let's have a look through this rubbish. Yeah, this looks like it.
Oh, what is it?
The simplest little timing mechanism for an incendiary ever invented. A pack of matches. You light one and jam it under the cover. When the match burns down, it ignites the rest of them in the pack.
Well, someone must have thrown it through that broken window.
Correct. The pack's pretty charred. You can see here on the cover. There's something LIS Club.
LIS Club?
Yeah. We'll come back to that later. In the meeting.
Someone wants to get in.
Hey, what's the big idea of locking the door?
Oh,
hey, what's been happening?
That's a long story, Cherub.
But the locked door.
Now, you'll notice it was locked from the outside.
I must have dropped a cigarette into this rubbish.
Oh, let's get rid of the
cover. Oh,
it's
Pete?
Huh?
I think the ladies want to get changed.
Oh, Oh, yeah, of course.
You may buy me a drink at the nearest bar.
Sure. Bye, Abby. See you later.
Come back after the show.
Sure, and I'll...
See? That drink, please?
Oh, honey, that little attempt at arson was designed specifically to scare yours truly away from the scene.
And?
By someone who knew Abby'd sent for me. Someone who knew I was having a look around that dressing room at that specific time.
Well, Pete, it could be anyone. The doorkeeper of the theater, the manager, the stage director. They all knew.
Julie, that list of people you just rattled off.
Yes?
All men.
So?
Why?
What do you mean, why?
You think there's a man behind all this?
Well,
I don't.
But if you...
I think it's a girl. Maybe even a Corrine.
Oh. Now, why do you say that, Barry?
Barry?
Oh, sorry. Mr. Mason.
If a man had wanted to scare me off the case, he wouldn't have dropped a match into that rubbish can. He'd have waited in some dark alley as I was leaving the place. Used his fist or blackjack as an argument. That's logical. But that incendiary effort...
Woman's work?
I think so.
Then who? And why?
I don't have the answer to either of those questions. But I could take a guess.
I'm listening.
Someone wants that show to fold.
That's a thought. But why?
Someone wants the show to flop. So they figure the best way of making a girly show fold to pieces is by scaring the girlies half out of their poor little cotton-picking minds.
Mm. That's a good theory, Pete.
Well, the best one I can offer right now. Anyway, it gives us a starting point.
It does?
Sure. We look for a girl who has some reason for wanting that particular review closed down.
Oh, I think I could use a cigarette. A match, please, Pete.
Sure.
Thanks. Oh, careful, you'll burn your fingers.
Hey.
Hey, what?
Hey, this pack of matches. Where do they come from?
On the table. Compliments of ours. What?
Well, look at them. The Fleur-de-Lis Club.
Well, that's the name of this place.
The Fleur-de-Lis Club. Get it? L-I-S. L-I-S Club. Those matches that were dropped into the rubbish can, they came from this place. Maybe the clue wasn't all that important, but I added it to the rest of the information I'd gathered. The Fleur-de-Lis Club was right next door to the theater, and I guess most of the cast and staff would drop in there at some time or other. So maybe the pack of matches wasn't all that significant, but I clutched at straws on account of I really had so little to go on. And there was that ugly feeling at the back of my mind, the feeling that this was only the prelude. The vicious little jokes were going to get more serious. There was a pattern building up. I'd seen this sort of thing before. Sometimes it ended in murder. So what with this and that, I figured it was about time my old buddy Inspector Caswell of Scotland Yard was brought into the act.
Troy, this is a job for the local divisional police, not for Scotland Yard. There's someone committing a nuisance at that theater, that's all.
No, you're so right. Setting fire to the joint is certainly committing a nuisance, all right.
Now, Troy, don't exaggerate.
Exaggerate? I nearly got myself incinerated. Now, let's not fool around, Inspector. That whole theater could have gone up in smoke, and me with it.
No such luck.
You're not going to take any action, then?
Look, you report it to the local divisional station.
And nuts.
Now, look, Troy, I'm a very busy man.
Doing what? You know, from somewhere, I got the crazy mixed-up idea that it was Scotland Yard's job to combat crime in this city.
A constable on the beat can handle this particular crime very nicely, thank you.
Now, look, maybe I haven't got this across to you. I have a bad feeling about this deal.
Try by cotton at a servant.
Well, this is no time to be making with a funny patter.
Oh, be a good fellow, and don't slam the door as you go out.
Oh, go find some old lady's lost poodle.
Thank you, Troy. Oh. Oh, hello. Inspector Caswell here. Put me through to Superintendent Hayden Marshall, will you? Thanks. Oh, hello, Super. Now, Caswell here. I've just had a very irate private investigator in here. Yeah, that's right. Peter Troy. Seems he's been putting in some time down at the Islington Empire Theatre. Yes, and from what he says, it would seem that our man's made his move. No, Troy doesn't know the score yet. But I'll wager it won't be long before he stumbles on something. He has a habit of doing that, you know. Yes, I think we'd better double our watch on the place. Anything's liable to happen now.
Okay, Abby. Let's go over it all again.
Oh, but Pete, sweetie, I've told you every single little thing 100 times.
Once more, Petal.
The manager himself is backing the show.
The man who owns the theater.
That's right. Harold Bajan. Nice fellow.
Go on.
Well, the rumors have it that he sunk his last penny into this review. It goes bad, and he's had it.
So there we have a motive.
Motive?
Someone wants the show to fold, so Harold Bajan loses his shirt.
Well, now, what would anyone gain from that? He'd lose his own money at his theater.
And his theater?
Why, yes. And who would want to buy a theater these days? There's dozens of them lying around empty all over London.
Now, look, Abby, all these things that have been happening to the girls.
You find out who's responsible?
No, but I'll bet it's one of the Corrines that used that dressing room.
Oh, now, Pete. We were all locked in there when that gas came
in. Now, that door's got a two-way lock, Abby. It can be locked from the outside, as well I know. And it can be also locked from the inside.
You mean...
I mean, with all that ruckus going on in there, you could have missed seeing one of the girls turning the key from the inside.
Yes, but what about the gas? We should get a self-gas as well as all...
But it wasn't gas, Petal. It was a rather, obnoxious chemical, but quite harmless. It did what it was supposed to do. It threw an awful scare into 15 of those 16 girls.
Oh, yes, but...
The chemical was in the form of a pellet which was stuck on top of the electric light bulb when the light was off. Now, who else but one of those Corrines would have had the opportunity of putting it there?
Well, we're mostly on stage all at the same time. Except me. I have that specialty number. Oh, Pete, you don't think it's me?
No, of course not. But I do want to know this, Abby. You called for me to clear all this up. Now, why didn't you send for the police?
Oh, well, we had a sort of roundtable conference and we discussed it, but the motion was vetoed.
Why?
Pete, jobs for chorus girls don't grow on trees.
Oh, I see.
We didn't want to start any trouble. And Bajan has been pretty decent to us.
Mm-hmm. So?
So, someone suggested we keep the police out of it for as long as possible.
Who?
Huh?
Who suggested you keep the police out of it?
One of the girls.
Well, which one?
I don't remember. We were all talking at once, you know.
Yeah.
Well, is it important?
Well, it could be.
I'll try to remember.
Mm-hmm. One last thing, Abby.
Yes?
The Fleur-de-Lis Club. Now, what do you know about it?
Oh, well, we all go there. It's nice and handy.
Who owns it?
Matt Castellas.
What?
Well, of course, everyone knows he's been in trouble with the police.
He only came out of jail a couple of months ago.
Well, he's caused no trouble, and he's been good to us.
Any of the girls really friendly with him?
Please, I don't honestly know.
No, okay, sugar, we'll leave it at that. I'd better be making a move anyway.
Sure you wouldn't like a drink, Pete? You don't have to rush away, do you?
Oh, don't tempt me, Abby. I'm notoriously weak-willed.
Pete?
Night, baby. See you at the theater, huh?
Night, Pete. Night. Okay, he's gone now. Why he didn't want him to see you, I don't know. Pete's sweet and a lot of fun. Hey, what's the matter? What are you looking at me like that for? What's the matter? Get that. Get away from me. Have you gone crazy? Get away from me!
Hey, has anyone seen Abby? Abby, Abigail. Well, what's the matter?
Haven't you heard, Mr. Troy?
Well, heard what?
There's been an accident.
Abby?
Yes.
What happened?
She fell out of the window of her apartment.
When?
About an hour and a half ago.
Hey, is she...
She's in hospital. They still don't know how badly she's hurt.
An hour and a half ago. But I was with her then. She was all right when I left. Fell out of the window.
We don't know whether she fell out. Or was pushed out. You were with her?
Well, yeah, but... Well, all right. But don't look at me like that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I suppose we're all a bit jittery. Abby was a good kid.
I know.
And this was a final straw. We're through, Mr. Troy. Finished.
Finished?
Yeah, that's right.
No one will go on now. We're just waiting for Mr. Bajan to pay us our money.
And then we're leaving.
No show tonight, huh?
Nope.
But...
that old saying about the show must go on, there are exceptions.
This is one of them.
Then Bajan's finished.
Yes, I'm afraid so.
So they succeeded.
What?
Nothing, just thinking aloud.
Well, they're closing up the theater now.
Mm. Well, let's go.
Aren't you coming, Mr. Troy?
No.
They'll lock you in.
That's right.
Will you be here all alone?
I don't think so. I'll be waiting for someone.
You'll, have a lonely wait.
But not for long, I hope.
Well, I hope your guest turns up, Mr. Troy. Good night.
Oh, they'll turn up all right. I'm sure of it. Very sure of it.
Mr. Troy? Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Joan, isn't it?
That's right.
Forget something?
Yes, my makeup kit.
Uh-huh.
Where are you? I can't see it. The dark in here.
Isn't it, though?
And, I'm a little scared, Mr. Troy. I'd, appreciate it.
Oh, I doubt it, Joan.
Well, what?
I doubt if you're scared in the dark.
What do you mean?
You're a very self-reliant girl, Joan.
Am I?
So is that husband of yours.
Husband?
Matt Castellas.
I think you must have made some mistake.
No. You and Castellas were married 10 years ago in Paris.
Indeed.
Just before he pulled that gold bullion heist.
I don't know what you're talking about.
He held up and robbed an armored car not two blocks away from this theater.
Mr. Troy. In fact,
he was captured right here in this theater. Just about where you're standing now. But they didn't find the bullion.
Didn't they?
It was late at night. This theater was a movie house then. He and his boys broke in and hid the bullion someplace. His two sidekicks decided to shoot it out for the police. They didn't make it.
All right, Mr. Troy. You got the story right in just about every detail.
Well, that's gratifying.
But it's not going to do you any good. I'm standing right beside the master switch. I pull it, and this theater is flooded with light. And in my hand, I'm carrying a gun.
Don't do it, Joan.
The next one won't miss.
Drop the gun, Mrs. Costello.
What the...
We have this place surrounded.
Caswell?
Show's over, Troy. Curtain's coming down.
Oh, now, wait a minute.
All right, Mrs. Costello, let's not have any trouble.
No.
Sorry about this bit of deception, Troy, but it was rather necessary. You see, we've had Castellas under observation ever since he came out of prison. We'd seen him meet Joan, so we investigated her background.
Incidentally, Joan, where is the bullion?
You're so clever, you find out.
Oh, we've got a theory. You see, obviously, they couldn't just walk into the theater and get it out, so it must be almost inaccessible. That's why Castellas wanted the theater empty, so that he could get at it.
So?
So... they extended the back to make dressing rooms, and they concreted over an old storeroom. Probably under the concrete.
How's that, Joan? I'd say you hit the jackpot, Inspector.
Oh, I'll get you, Troy. If it hadn't been for you...
Yeah, she doesn't look half so pretty when she's scowling, does she?
You'd better walk mighty softly from now on, Peter Troy.
And carry a big stick. Night, Joan.